Hey everybody, Sky here. Just a couple notes before we get started. This episode is about dreams, being psychic or a mystic, as Barra likes to call it, symbolism and all that cool stuff. And this is our own God-given innate ability. So don't forget that, people. We just have been programmed for far too long. So I hope you enjoy the show. I also want to say thank you to all our listeners, because this would not happen without you. We appreciate you and would love to hear some feedback from you as well. So sit back, enjoy the ride. Remember, all this is our own stuff, and we just like to have conversations and share it with you. Enjoy.
Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Midnight Margaritas. I am Sky, and I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Bara.
And we are talking about a metaphysical conversation about psychic abilities and seven-year itch. I think that's what we were on. And
No, we actually spoke about it because you had a bad dream the other night.
That's right, yeah.
And in the morning you asked me if we were okay with each other. And I was a bit taken aback. So I was like, what do you mean we're okay with each other? Because every time you have a dream, I have to think, is she seeing things in the future? Or is she just having a dream? So I have got to be really, we're okay, yeah. But then, what I've been dreaming about for years and what has come to fruition, I think that I'm a mystic. And I didn't believe that.
Right.
Because, you know, I've seen so many things over the last long time, even before we
30 years or so? Yeah.
You know, when 25, things I've manifested or whatever, I've come to fruition.
Yeah, things that you've thought about happened.
And actually seen in my dreams, you know. Yeah. It's not all... No, I'm not very good at remembering my dreams a lot of times, but... When something happens or something and you go, you know, the deja vu angle to it, you go, hey, wait a minute, this has happened before. So, you know, as I've said, you're mystic. I'm thinking, I'm mystic too.
Absolutely. You are. And everyone is. Everybody is a mystic, if that's what you want to call it, or has intuitive abilities or psychic abilities. And, it goes back, when you think about, as a baby, you're born, you're not programmed. You know, you come into this world and you have no filters, you have no boundaries, you're connected to source, you're connected to God and the cosmos, and you're getting all that information, and it just flows through you. Not that you're consciously aware of, you know, what it means or what it is, but it's there. And unfortunately, as we go through life, By the time we hit the age 7, we've been so programmed by our parents, our you know, everyone we're connected to, and society, that we put filters in, or more appropriately called roadblocks, and it shuts off our third eye, it shuts off our communication to divine source, so we don't remember that we can, you know, have access to all this information, or we have access to these abilities or you know, gifts, if you want to call it. They're not gifts. Everybody has them, so they're not really gifts.
Yeah, so everybody has a way of having, they just don't know how to read them, if you like. Would that be correct?
Well, absolutely, because people, dream work, when I was going through my course in class, you know, in college, being programmed through metaphysics, basically, my specialty was dream work.
Yeah.
And
you don't sleep?
And I don't sleep now, that's for sure. So when I have a dream, it's like, oh my freaking God.
Yeah.
So our psyche, you know, is constantly at work. When you go to sleep, your astral body or your spiritual body is continually working. It's doing whatever it's supposed to do. So it's out there, but you're not consciously connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
For most people,
it's like another dimension, eh?
It is another dimension. Yeah. So you're working on the astral dimension, basically, on the fifth or and up, you know, whatever dimension you choose to work on, whatever level you're at with that. And for the most part, you know, you may not consciously be connected to that, so you don't consciously know what you're doing sometimes.
That's probably what I've been going through, but what I've found significantly is when I've had dreams and the deja vu scenario, it's when you've been, say, on a boat or you are traveling or just being with somebody, you went, hold on a minute, we've been through this before.
Right.
And you, it's, when did I last, how did we do? And then you realize to yourself it was in a dream, or
Maybe in a past life, in some connection somewhere to this person.
Can I ask you as well, you're talking about 7 years. We're talking about the 7 years. Is this where the 7 year itch comes from? Because, you know, I've had few relationships in my lifetime, and all of them seemed to last 7 years, and then would split up.
You did better than I did. Mine are two.
Well, there you go. I tried to give them a bit of time. Maybe because I was in the pub for 2 and then 5 years.
They programmed you out of the pub.
You just seemed to go different ways, and it was about maybe 10 years ago I started looking at. I seen a documentary or I read something that 7 years. Your DNA structure changes and it's refreshed.
Yep.
So that made me realize, it was like a eureka moment. That's why I keep splitting up with a girlfriend I've been with 7 years, because we've gone different directions.
Absolutely. And it's it could be that our DNA gets a reboot energetically.
Or I do. That's right.
I think we are tuned into the cosmos, and our DNA literally gets a like a download or something, and adjusts and reboots and upgrade. It's like an upgrade to a computer.
Okay. Yeah, well, so we probably are, then.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, with that 7 years and that upgrade, you grow. You know, you, when you come together as a couple, it's like you resonate, you connect, you're at the same level, the same frequency. Because bottom line is, everything is energy.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is.
I agree with that. You know, it's the music that has always interested me.
That's energetic. Everything's an energetic frequency. Even that cast iron table right there in front of you has an energetic frequency. So as human beings, we resonate our frequency. And when we connect with people that are on that same frequency, those are the people that we are drawn closer to. So we have a deeper connection with them because we can understand each other. We can really resonate together and do our jobs together and work together as a team, whether it's on an individual couple level or on a bigger scale in a community. And this even goes back to, you know, ancient civilizations would basically do a musical frequency within the community to get everybody at the same frequency level to work together.
Okay, a harmony.
Harmony. It brings the group into harmony. So when you, as a couple, you connect, you have that deeper connection because your frequencies resonate together. Mm. But as you go through life and you grow and you're together for so long, you both have whatever path it is that you had written when you came into this lifetime. Mm. You know, you're following that path and you're drawn either back to that or continue to go on that path, whatever that may be, but your frequency shifts and changes with whatever your destiny or your path may be. So if your partner is going in a different direction than you, your frequencies aren't going to come back together. Yeah. So, and it usually is about a 7 year.
Well, that's,
when you're getting your download and your upgrade for your DNA again, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you come to that realization of, okay, wait, we're not on the same level. Things aren't meshing together here. Mm. So you end up, you know, going your separate ways. So that's a great question.
Yeah, well, three long relationships which were 7 years each, and
both of them were all of them were three, 7 years.
Three, and the rest were 7 minutes.
Well, that's a whole other ball.
That's pretty long, to be honest.
Oh, whoa!
For a Scotsman.
I don't know about that.
To me and you might last 14 minutes. 14, 14 years, I beg your pardon.
But the thing is, you and I have been together for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It feels like, 700, 1,000 years. that's cool. It's good. You know what? Since I've moved to America, lots of things have started getting clarified in my head. or in my computer, or in my, was it Spectrum, Commodore 64, or whatever, that things that I was seeing in sleep and things that have been changing as a human have been destined to be coming here.
Because, absolutely.
Because my destiny, as you spoke about destiny, and my destiny was to come to America because I always wanted to see America. And there was, because of work and whatever, you never actually get to, it was like a dream in such a way, if you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean.
Yeah.
And it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me, to be honest. So much spiritualness, if you know what I mean. It's
awakening.
Awakening, yeah. And I think I've spoke to you before about that. It's being amongst people that are on the same vibe.
Like-minded.
Or the same
frequency.
Yeah,
same frequency.
It's like, thank flipping God.
Yeah. That's funny. And for me, you know, I can say the opposite because I was always drawn to Scotland even when I was a child. You know, I was always having visions and dreams of Scotland and just really connected to the earth in that area. And, you know, a lot of magical stuff for me as a child. I don't know how many times I planned my trip to Scotland, but never made it until a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my awakening. That was my aha moment when it was really very, very magical, very synchronistic for me. I didn't have to force anything. It was like things just happened magically.
Fell into place. Yeah.
And I know we're gonna be back there at some point. I do feel that in my soul, but it was, like you said, it was meant to be. It was one of those things that was written in the stars, if you want to call it. You know,
without a doubt. And I don't want your viewers to think, oh, this is just a wee love story about us, but it's an amazing story.
It is.
And if
it's very magical.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to speak to us individually or as a collective, speak to us, because I'm telling you, the magic was.
Yeah, it's real. It
overwhelming,
happens.
Overwhelming. It was overwhelming, honestly. And those you don't know, I just packed my bags and left. I wasn't married. I had no kids, nothing like that. So I didn't have anything to lose. I had a good business and that going. But I can start businesses everywhere. And I'm thriving here already.
Yeah.
Just because my work,
very diverse.
My hard working ethics. So I fit into me pretty well.
Yeah.
But. No, it was magical, and that'll never go away from me. You know, every day when I go to have a wee complaint or something, just think what you've got. Just think what you've got. You've got somebody that loves you more than the earth itself. Does everything for you, and I've never had that before. I've been very independent, but I says, bugger this, I'm gonna sit back like a king and let. And get my porridge made in the morning.
Porridge made every morning.
Then I'll toss my caber. Whoa!
Woo!
But Scotland is a magical and beautiful place. But the occupants of it, and I'm going to call them occupants, have become so brain dead. It's not my country anymore. I fought there many times with different clans in many lifetimes, but. Scotland is not what Scotland used to be. It's become fearful, scared.
I have to say, I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to say, it's not just Scotland. It's, I think the reason why you feel that so much is because Scotland is such a small country, and there's so little people compared to America.
Oh, yeah.
And here we've got, you know, it's a massive country, massive amounts of people. But
massive trucks.
They're giant, giant trucks compared to Scotland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just take the state of Maine, for instance. Here we are. And it is, the people are the same.
Oh, they're beautiful.
We do have more people here, I think, in Maine than you have in Scotland. So I think what you're seeing is a ratio here.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people in Maine that are the same that you're describing.
Rebellious.
In Scotland.
Rebellious. Don't take.
Well, no. I mean the opposite.
Okay.
Like the ones that are sheep and being led and in control.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
being
being controlled. You have that. Those people are everywhere. It's not just in Scotland. What I'm trying to say is there are people in Scotland that are standing up for their rights.
Yeah.
There are people out there that know the truth and are searching for the truth and making, you know, as much waves as they can in their own little country. And it's relative to what we're doing here in America. You don't hear, and people out there who are listening to mainstream media and all the, you know, the ABCs, the NBCs, the CBSs, everything that the cabal owns, they hear the same thing over and over and they're programmed to that.
Yeah.
But what you don't hear is the people who don't listen to that, the people who know the truth, the people who are speaking out, the people who are making a difference, the people who are tuned into the cosmos. They're just like you and I. And I think that's what you were trying to say, is you found that niche here.
Yeah, I found it here because maybe I was not necessarily looking for it back home, but I just seen the way people spoke and, you know, and acted and feeling sorry for themselves. And you're like, oh my God. You know, I'm a person that will sit in the fence. You know, I'm not going to take sides, but I listen to what they've got to say and I go home shaking my head and going, evidence you ever wanted, but not good enough for me.
But yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, and Jesus Christ. So, yeah, it just because I stay in small communities, and that's the way it is in Scotland. You're all clammed together in these communities, not like America where you've got a house every 100 yards, or so nobody really knows.
Well, as long as you're not in the city.
Yeah, well,
you're in the country.
In Scotland, it's so you're on top of each other.
Whereas out in the country, you have acres.
Yeah,
acres,
well, you've also got time to see the nature and that. In Scotland, you haven't, because everybody's on top of each other. And we don't even see the nature in front of us. All we think about is, I've got to go to work. And I'm not saying not to work. That's not, because I love working. But it's go to work so they can pay for Dolce & Gabbana perfume.
Some
crazy
things,
fucking things. Yeah. I know. You have to buy things to make yourself perk yourself up now and again when you've worked hard, you know.
Well, here in Maine, it's the big trucks.
Yeah.
It's the ATVs,
yeah,
the four-wheelers,
yeah.
The snowmobiles.
And that's how they got us by the bollocks, because they know we're going by because we want to enjoy ourselves. But away from all that, I just found it because I didn't want to talk about it in Scotland, because I felt like I was a lone star, if you like.
Yeah, because you couldn't resonate with anybody.
Yeah, so coming over here, I've met so many people that are on the same wavelength, and it's just like, well, all my ancestors are here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. We all came from Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland,
Ireland,
Wales, England. And I won't say England as well. I slag off England quite a lot. But I'll tell you what, it's not the actual English. There is the criteria of the English that'll do it, but that's usually around London area when you've got the thugs. The thugs from soccer teams, West Ham, Millwall, you know. But that's only because the banking cartels down in London.
Right.
See, the majority of England are really nice.
The world banking cartels.
Yeah, the world banking is there.
Yeah,
yeah,
so that's the big guns.
So the majority of English
pockets.
People are really nice. I'm talking Yorkshire, I'm talking Carlisle, I'm talking Newcastle, Liverpool.
Yeah. Oh, Carlisle is beautiful.
Yeah,
I love it.
They feel the strain from the London banking criteria,
mm-hmm.
You know. So the Geordies themselves, the Newcastle people, think that they're southern jocks. You know, they're a wee bit southern down, but they're
mm-hmm.
jocks because they're the same mentality.
Right.
Work hard, have a good drink,
right,
and get it off your chest.
Yeah.
A couple of fights, but, you know, so I've got nothing against the actual English populace apart from that London area. And I'm sure it's the same in America, like New York, everything's based New York,
it is.
New
it
York,
depends
New
on
York.
Where you are.
And I'm not singing a Frank Sinatra song. But it seems to be everything's based around New York. The rest of America can fuck off. You're like, wait a minute here.
Well, New York and California, I think they're like little pockets. That,
or L.A., where all the pop stars
LA,
go.
L.A.,
New
York,
and
you know, Silicon Valley.
Mm.
New York is the biggest, New York City is the biggest hub, because that's the, you know, the great melting pot, which
yeah.
is where the entire world comes into New York. So, and you get that out in California and LA too.
Well, back home, everybody used to say to me, oh, I'd love to go to New York.
It's not what's cracked up,
you know,
trust me.
And I was like, you know what, I'd love to go. Area 51. Arthur Roswell.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that someday.
That's what I used to say to people. And they were like, what's down there? I know.
Oh, you just want to stick it. Oh, never mind.
Yeah,
forget
it doesn't matter.
We're
yeah.
done. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever watched X-Files?
Yeah. Thank God our listeners know all about Area 51. And
I think all our listeners know exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be listeners if they weren't.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so going on to the next subject, are we on subjects? Or are we just...
Well, we were talking about psychic abilities
and
being in tune with the universe and the cosmos, our frequencies. So.
Yeah, and I remember the day my mother was officially passed away. And you're speaking of, you know, 7 year itches and everything.
Yeah.
My mother and father were married for 58 years.
I gotta say, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this before I hit the record button. It's like,
that's Medal of Honor stuff.
I really admire these people who are childhood sweethearts. And they get married and they stay together for 50, 60 years. You know, their entire lifetime is spent with each other. It's like, it's amazing. It's like, how do you do that?
Don't get me wrong, folks. She hated Mum and Dad. He was never good at DIY or anything like that. He had his own business. But DIY, she also used to say...
Wait, what's DIY?
It's do it yourself.
Oh,
you don't know,
okay.
Do it yourself. I don't know what
DIY.
You would say.
Yeah, okay.
So she would get me to do painting and... joinery work when I was 8-9 years of age.
So you did it all for her.
Yeah, and she would say,
thanks, Mom.
All he's good at is using a bloody hammer. Smashing things. And yeah, and she drank Dad under the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good at
that.
She
still does, even though she's passed away.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
But so I was on a boat doing salmon farming, and the skipper of the boat got a CB call and says, you better take Bara in because his mom's passed away. And I knew, you know something, when I seen him on the radio, he was actually eating a tomato at the time while he was on, or tomatoes, as they say in America. He was on the CB and I knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
And I was sort of on the lounge of the boat, you know, eating my own piece, I don't know what you call them,
sandwich
piece.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what's happening.
You knew.
I knew. And then I says, well, I'll finish my shift because we've got another 4 hours to go. He went, thank God he was an older gentleman. He was like, no, you will not. I'm taking you straight home. He didn't even let me drive home. He drove me home himself.
Wow.
And he says, we'll see you when I see you. See, if that was young, up and coming upstarts nowadays, as a skipper or that, they'd be like,
oh,
oh
yeah, yeah, let's keep working.
Keep working.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because this just shows you how tuned into the cosmos we are. I had actually, my mother had, she never married this guy, but she dated him my entire life from the time I was like, shortly after my dad passed away at 2, in 1999, he passed away, and they were still an item together. And it was funny because it was my second year in my Renaissance fair, and my cousin was up on the roof of my cafe putting the shingles on the roof. I was walking by, I stopped in the middle of the road, I looked up at him, he looked down at me, and it was just this sense of knowing that something was going on.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, I got the call from my mom telling me that he had passed away. I was like, wow.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like that whole sense of, you just know, you have that message, it comes in. You feel it, you and unfortunately, when we're so programmed for so long, we tend to second guess ourselves You know, when you get that feeling of you, something that you really know deep in your soul, and you think about it, and you're like, nah, nah, that's nothing. And you throw it in the back burner and you walk away from it. Well, that's a message to you. Pay attention to those little hits, those intuitive hits, because that's your natural, innate ability coming through you to say...
It's an instinct.
It is. It's our instinct. And thank you for saying instinct. That's a great word, because that's exactly what it is. It's not a gift. It's not a. It's not something you can like learn. It's what we already have.
Yeah.
You just need to remember that we can do this. Break down those programming walls that you put up and tap into it. You know.
Yeah.
I just.
I agree. I mean, if we could go off. Program just now, and if you start listing all the things that you felt before it happened, and
right,
you know, that gut instinct and everything,
yeah,
we'd be like, oh, there'd be a huge list.
On, it would be,
you know.
Well, remember when it was after we met, you were still in Scotland, I was here, and I was with my son in the car, I think I was driving him to work, and we had this smell that came through. Remember,
yeah,
I told you about this.
Yeah,
and
whiskey.
No, actually, it must have been.
It was
yeah.
The smell of whiskey.
Yep, that's what it was. And I stopped at the stoplight, and I'm looking at my son, and I go, wow, you smell that? It smells like, I said alcohol. I said,
alcohol,
it smells
yeah,
like alcohol,
yeah.
Whiskey or something. And he looks at me, he goes, yep. And... right as soon as he said yes, your mom came into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I knew it. And I looked at him and I said, who do you think that is? And we both said at the same time, that's Bada's mom. I'm like, yep, it sure is.
Yeah, well, she did like the whiskey.
Yeah, but it was,
yeah.
You know, she was coming in to say, hey.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. I remember that day, yeah.
Wow. And the fact that my son picked up on it, too. We both did at the same time. Looked at each other. It was an overwhelming smell of alcohol.
Scottish whiskey.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Speaking of whiskey, I don't even want to have another bottle. No, my God.
Remember
I can't even.
Last time?
I can't even drink a thimbleful. I'm on my arse.
We won't tell people that.
I'm telling the truth, folks. I can't drink whiskey. I'm a Scotsman. I cannot. So if we ever meet me, do not offer me a bloody whiskey, because I just fall on my backside. Okay, the game is over.
He's done for it.
Yeah, I'm done for. See, well, being when I grew up with my mum, and I used to see her sneaking it into her coffee and everything. I used to say, that's it. I'm not touching that.
Oh, there you go. You programmed yourself.
I programmed myself not to touch whiskey.
Yep. So
yeah.
Now if you do, it like sets you over the edge. And
I
you
don't
can't
want
to function.
Touch it. It doesn't do anything for me,
well,
to be honest.
Well, you just can't function. I can tell you that.
Well,
much.
How are you doing? Blah, 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 blah,
blah.
Yeah.
You can't stand up.
Can't stand. So.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. You can't even sing with it.
No. No. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go for the toilet. I'm allowed
We'll take a break here and we will come right back. Thanks.
You
Abilities. Sweet invisibility. Yeah.
You want to sing us a song?
Oh, I could do. I could finish my. I'll finish off with a song once I finish talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sing a song, Hilavata.
Oh, beautiful song.
And I'll just do it a cappella. I won't do it with guitar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
And I'll explain to the audience what it's about.
Cool.
I've learned to say that too. Since I moved to America, I've learned to say cool.
The word cool in America is the word.
The word.
The word. It means you can say it for everything. Oh, cool.
I don't like saying awesome. I have to admit, I don't like saying awesome because awesome sounds like it's, wow, the best thing ever. Not everything's the best thing ever. Well, we just say good or fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic.
And you know what? That's my awesome is my word. I love awesome. I love the word awesome because it gives that
French fry.
No, not it. No.
Je ne sais quoi. It gives it that je ne sais quoi.
I don't know. I just it's
I just don't think anything is that awesome that.
Well, you're looking at it on a scale.
A different perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get that. I totally get that. Maybe I should scale it back a little bit.
The earth's awesome. The world's awesome. The birds, the bees, and
right.
Right.
And what goes on with the person to be said?
Here we go, back on that subject.
That is awesome, man. Man, we're talking. No, it's just a word that I've just thought it has to be awesome, spectacular. It's like,
well, you need a word that tells, like, the all amazingness and how, like, on the top scale of great.
Yeah.
So you need a word. So that word is for you on that top scale.
Yeah,
of great.
I never reach awesome. Right? But what's at the bottom scale? What's under shite?
I don't think anything is under shite. Sewer.
Deeper shite.
deeper shite.
Sorry about the hilarity, folks. We like to laugh because it's in our DNA to laugh.
Well, okay, let's talk about laughter for a minute, because laughter, number one, is contagious.
Yeah.
Number two, it changes frequency and vibration to a higher level. So people need to laugh more.
Definitely. Laugh and listen to music more, to be honest. Get off your computers, get off shopping, get off shopping channel, get off television. Get more music in the house. Start cooking again. Start realizing what talents you have. Because you have them. They've been passed down from generation to generation. And
well, and it's getting lost. That's lost.
That's purposely, though. That's meant to be that way.
Right.
You know, it's planned that way. You know, and unfortunately, I'm gonna use the word unfortunately. America's been the place where everybody's, you know, in Europe and Britain, is to look at the television and aspire to America. But America's falling apart. Well, I can see family-wise.
Yeah, that whole American dream that people think that they want to achieve, you know, from a different country, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The whole white picket fence, beautiful house, now.
Not even allowed to picket anymore.
No. That does not exist. It's all an illusion.
Well, what I can see since I've been here, that everybody works the bloody bollocks off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody eats takeout because they're knackered, because they're both working so hard.
Well, and part of that is nobody knows how to cook. Going back to things being handed down from generation to generation, people have forgotten how to cook. In our, like, age bracket, if you look at people who are the same age as us, how many of those people actually cook? How many actually sit down to a home-cooked meal?
But I honestly think, and this is my perspective, obviously, my mum stayed at home all the time, so there was a meal on the table every night. And this is not being sexist, this is not being...
We're not getting into the political crap. We're just saying, just the way it was. Like it is.
Dad went out and worked all day, 6 days a week, worked his butt off to provide the stuff that she would cook.
Right, and mum would stay home, and she would take care of the kids, and she would cook, and she would clean.
Whether that's right or wrong.
It doesn't matter, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Accept it.
Yeah, and there was a far more togetherness about it than there is now. Everybody seems to be doing their own thing, if you know what I mean.
Right.
As in families, I'm talking about families.
Right.
Whereas we all...
Yeah, the family network has fallen apart because both parents have to work. And this goes for Britain as well.
Yeah, but it is like that. It has been that way 15 years.
Yeah. Both parents have to work to support the family, because things are the whole, you get into economics and the way the government
houses to buy houses, to buy cars, to buy
so both parents have to work to provide a healthy, you know, safe environment for the family. But guess what? It's not a healthy, safe environment. You're out there, both parents are busting their ass 60, 70 hours a week, you know, sometimes, bringing home just enough money to cover all the bills.
To feed
the family, put a roof over their heads. And then they're constantly battling each other because they can't connect because they're yeah. on two different frequencies and all different levels now.
Yeah. And
that's what's they're tearing the family network apart.
Yeah, it's ruined the family table, if you like.
Yeah.
Certainly, I'd say I had a different upbringing because Mum done everything, and my sisters obviously helped, and so did we. The boys helped as well. But
that's another thing. And nowadays, sorry to interrupt you, but parents are working, kids are being raised by other people, so they're not getting that training or
special time
one-on-one with the family member to help them understand and grow and learn in a proper way. They're being raised by somebody else, by daycare or school or whatever. They're being programmed right from the get-go. So when you all come back together, the kids come back in, the parents come back in, everybody's completely on a different level.
Yeah, he had it on different pages.
Right.
Yeah.
So your kids as children, they're all being programmed right from the start from somebody else. It's not even the parents programming them. It's like the daycare or the school system programming them.
It's pretty sad, though.
It is sad.
And the basis of everybody's life, apart from, your human structure, is to have your family around you.
That is exactly what's missing.
And as much as you fight and squabble and, it's your family, it's your DNA that you stick up for, it's your blood.
Yep.
And that's been ripped apart.
It has.
It's kind of sad.
It's very sad. It's very sad. And, we could go do a whole, several different podcasts on just that alone, break it down into, okay, you got, programming of children, school systems and all that stuff. And then we could just go off in many different rabbit holes on that. But
So we won't go down that rabbit hole tonight.
No, no. So let's stick to frequencies and cosmic information coming in. divine source. So let's go back to dreams for a minute.
Okay,
because we talked about dreams in the beginning and how that's our information center. We are.
Is that an email?
No, please no.
D-mail, actually. It's a D-mail.
A dream mail.
Yeah.
You have a dream. A dream is a message. Most of the time, it is giving you information about things that are going on in your life, within your subconscious, and helping you to basically problem solve and work your way through that. It's giving you messages to say, hey, what about this? Don't forget, this is eating away at you somewhere in your psyche, in your subconscious. Like you asked me about the dream that I had when I woke up and I said, hey, are we okay? That's because I had a dream that was a little unsettling about our relationship. So I had to address that. Yeah, okay, it's done and over with, got it, worked on it, we're good.
That's what she thinks.
No, that's what I know. But bottom line is, those are messages.
Yeah.
It's all in how you interpret those messages. How does that feel? How does that sit with you? How does that, can you decipher that?
And relate to it.
And relate to it.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're not always going to be clear.
No, unfortunately not. It's like a trivia. It's like, how would you say, like a Rubik's Cube sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely a Rubik's Cube.
And, you've told me many times when I've told you about my dreams and you went, oh, that's a message. And I'm like, how the hell can you decipher that from that? But
it works, doesn't it?
You've worked on it. You've worked on it.
Because I understand symbology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of it has to do with symbology and what is going on with a person at the time the dream happens. Okay. So if you take somebody who goes through day-to-day life, blah, 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 okay, and they start seeing certain symbolism in nature, certain types of birds, certain types of, you know, situations happen in their life, you know, throughout the day. Well, you have to take all that information and you have to like throw it down on a table, you know,
mm-hmm.
throw the dice out on the table and look at it and say, okay, well, how does this fit into my life? What is going on in my life right now where I can take this information and kind of decipher it and put it into place? Because a lot of times messages will come through, like I said, in dreams is very, that's the number one way they come to
us. Apropos, if you like.
Yeah, right, because it allows our consciousness to take a break and our unconscious to surface and bring that information up to the consciousness to say, hey, look, you know, you need to work on these things.
Yeah.
And this is what's going on in your life. So certain things in your dreams mean certain things, but take, oh my God, give me an example. Okay, so simple little thing. This is a really big one for people. You're in a car, you're driving somewhere in a dream, and all of a sudden you have no brakes. Have you had those dreams before?
Yeah.
Okay, well, usually what that means is your life is out of control. You don't have control over it. You can't put the brakes on. Oh my God, what's happening? Things are just happening all around you and you can't stop it. So that's what that represents, okay? So once you understand what is happening in your life and you understand the fact that, okay, oh my God, yeah, you're right, I can't.
So it goes along with even an interpretation of everyday life, symbology.
That's what I'm talking about. It's everyday life.
Yeah.
Certain birds that you see, birds are a really big.
Well, back in Scotland, birds are the female species. We call them birds, all right? That's the birds. So I don't know if I want to look into that.
No, no. Well, you know.
I know, I think Mainers, Main last year called about how right bird should get a wee smack, or you'd get a smack in the face.
You might. Definitely might.
Yeah.
No, but I think our friend Indigo Warrior
had
a vision one day, or not a vision, actually, he real life, he's sitting out on his deck. He told me the story once after a Numa session. And this, he described it as this red bird flew up and literally sat perched on the grill right next to him, like a couple inches from him. And he just watched it and thought, oh, okay, that's got to be some sort of message, right? Well, he, you know, didn't know what kind of bird it was. So when he reached out to a friend who could interpret that, she said, well, that's not a robin. He thought it was robin. It's like, no, that's not a robin, and that doesn't mean a message from a robin. That was a cardinal, and that means something completely different. So, like, there's a catbird right there.
Yeah.
Just landed right in the driveway
as
we're talking. Okay.
Mm.
So a catbird represents, what do? They are a member of the mockingbird family. So they mimic whatever voice they hear. They mimic cats, they mimic ducks, they mimic people,
wow.
They mimic whatever they hear, they try to mimic that sound.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So our message right here might be like, okay, you're talking, you know, we're having this conversation, we're recording it for our podcast, and, you know, that might be, okay, we need to reiterate this. We need to keep going with it. You know what I mean?
Can I put out there that was probably one of my starseeds going out to see the Indigo Warrior and tell him I love him.
There you go.
You know,
we love you, Indigo Warrior.
We do. It's
special.
We do miss him.
We miss
big
you.
Time, big
Definitely.
Time. Unfortunately, work has taken over this household at the moment.
Us, yeah.
So, between fishing and gardening.
Yeah.
So, we miss him.
Yeah, but I did get a message from him today, and he said he can't wait to get back. And,
we'll get back together. We'll get all back together.
Some more music with us.
Yeah. We send out some great frequencies once we get the band together.
Yay.
And then,
we love you, Indigo Warrior.
Yeah, we love you big time. Your big brother here is missing you big time. we'll have a wee beer together one day.
Definitely.
In the future.
So getting back to symbolism, basically what I'm trying to say is every single thing that we see, especially if it reoccurs more than three times,
yep.
and you see the same symbol three times, whether it's in a dream, whether it's in real life, or, you know, whatever aspect of your life that is, that is trying to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
That's your psychic intuition, your psyche, telling you, hey, pay attention. You need to understand something here.
It's like hitting you with a hammer without hitting
That's
you with a hammer.
That's exactly it. Three times,
yeah.
hey, babe.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, some of us Scots need to hit with a hammer, so if we don't really take it on board,
yeah,
we're too proud.
A lot of us Mainers need that too, you know, our maniacs. So.
Yeah, I get that.
Totally.
But, that's wicked. It is wicked. And, the more I wake up every morning, the more I learn. I tell you, I knew it all. I'm not that type of person. I'm not that type of person to go, oh, I know everything. Don't talk to me about that. I know it. I just want to get more information. And you provide so much of it. But I also think that you don't give me the full thing, so you don't bore me to death.
And the other piece to that is, like, I have a mentality of, oh my God, I don't know anything, please feed me more information.
Yeah.
You know, I just want more. I want, you know me.
Yeah,
you're
I do.
Looking at me like your eyes are
yeah.
rolling back in your head, going, oh God,
yeah.
you know.
Well, anybody that's listening here, I started thinking my name is. Do you know where my phone is? I thought that was my new name.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
That's another one.
Bloody hell, my name's been changed over the week. But
yeah,
I think that's just the female species, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
well, I could say it's a male species because it came full plot too. But.
Well, no, I've got a great memory.
You do.
I've got a great memory. And I'll tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. It's because I don't have a mobile phone attached to me. I've never had it attached to me. And I think it's warped your memory. I think it's warped people's brains for thinking. You know, with the brain power they have, I think everybody just goes, all right, let's go on to Google. Right, let's go on to YouTube. We'll sort this out.
Oh my God, I'm seeing it.
Use your brain.
I'm even seeing it at work, okay? So I get these questions all the time. Well, what about this? What about that? You know, what does this do? And
well,
I'm like,
I don't know.
But I bet this person knows. So I send them to this person in the garden center, and they'll go to that person, and that person won't. I'm not sure, but you know what? I can look that up, and they'll pull their phone out, and they'll look to it.
I know.
Like, that defeats the whole point of it. Come on, please, don't do that.
I know. It's the cheater's way of everything.
Even my mother did that today.
Yeah.
I think it was today or yesterday maybe. I was like, oh my God, it was
crazy.
She pulls out her phone and she says, oh, I can check that out. It was yesterday. Guy was in the store asking questions about some sort of seeds or something, and she's like, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. She pulls her phone out and starts typing it in. I'm like, no, please don't do that.
It's sad. It's bloody sad.
Oh, it is. But no, bottom line is our psychic abilities are, we have the innate, natural, God-given right to know things. Everything is knowledge, and knowledge is, it's all there for us. We just have to tap into it. We have to remember that we have access to it.
Yeah.
We have to accept that this is our right. It's not something that we have to what's the word I'm looking for?
We don't have to train for it because it is there already.
It's already there.
So,
it's not something we have to learn. We already know it. We just have
to practice it.
Allow ourselves to accept it and practice it.
Practice makes everything. Because no matter how good individually a person is at anything, and I'm talking from gardening to sport to whatever you want it to be, reading to, you have to practice.
Yep.
If you don't practice, because I'm one of these I'm blessed sometimes. I feel I'm blessed because anything I pick my hand up to, I can do pretty well at it. But I have to work at it. If I'm building a stone wall, I have to work at it. If I'm playing guitar, I have to work at it. But I've been blessed with being able to do just a wee bit of everything without becoming an expert, if you know what I mean.
Well, here's the thing. You have to work at it because it's the energy that you put into it. Everything...
But it gives me energy.
Right. Whatever you put into... How much energy you put into something is going to be how much you get out of it.
Yeah, beneficial.
It's not the quick fix, okay? I just want the instant gratification. That's not going to happen. That does not happen in life. But if you want something, how bad do you want it? How much are you willing to work for it to get it? And this is what's missing in today's...
In everyday life.
In today's life. And in the younger generation, they don't know how to do this because they're always on their phones, they're always on the computer, they're always on their video games.
Yeah, they can't see in front of their nose.
Right. So they don't know about how bad you want it. You know, how bad do you want something? How much are you willing to put into it?
I'll start putting electric fences up. See if they notice that when they're walking. With, oh, you bastard. They probably still keep walking.
Yeah. You know what? You're probably right. They'll just walk right through it. Mm. Yeah.
That's why, you know, me as a person, getting in tune with your animals, because I've never had animals before.
Yeah.
It's so good for me, because I'm just like, wow, these things... That's why you tell them things are amazing. I'm going to tell you a story, ladies and gentlemen. I got a horseshoe crab in their pot the other day. I tell you, I've never seen one in my life. I've seen them in books and I've read about them. This is one of the oldest species in the world. And they look...
As old as dinosaurs.
They were here before dinosaurs. They look vicious and they're the most... Kindest, nicest kid. I was. So I put one in a bucket and took it to my beautiful wife, Skye, and showed her. Have you ever seen anything like this? This is one of the oldest species you'll ever get. And my skipper says, well, she's from Maine, she probably has. And she did, okay? But the point of the story, I just wanted to see it, let her pick it up, and don't worry, folks, I put it back in the water. Anyway, I'm not like that. And, To me, I was so fascinated, I couldn't stop looking at it. I kept it aside and put it in the seawater in one of the buckets, and I could not stop looking at it. It just is like something sci-fi. It's like, wow, this thing is not from here. No, but it touched my soul. It touched my soul seeing something that as old as that, or its ancestors. Anyway, catching it in your pot, was, wow.
You know what I just realized? We need to look up the meaning of the horseshoe crab and see what it means.
Okay.
I gotta pull up my books and I know there's like there's gotta be some message there.
Well, it's just an amazing experience.
And that alone is an amazing message. And I'm gonna use the word amazing because that
if any of our listeners know anything about it, they could send us messages or whatever, if they could communicate with us.
Definitely.
To me, it was breathtaking, because I remember as a kid reading about it and saying it was one of the oldest species on the planet.
Yep, before that in itself is a message right there. That's like, you know.
It's telling me I'm old. Is that what it's saying? That's the message.
You're bloody fucking old.
Was I around before dinosaurs as well?
Yeah, probably. No, I think you were long before dinosaurs, you know. And
well, I remember, as you're young, you do call some of your neighbors dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You know, fickle you can be when you're younger, and then all of a sudden, you're their age.
Yep.
Yeah. But it was a special moment. I was touched.
Yeah.
I mean, because, to be honest, I didn't know how to handle it because it looks vicious.
It's
looks
scary
like
looking.
It could do something to you. And my skipper Tom went, "Don't worry, they're harmless. Just pick it up." And I thought, "Wow, this looks freaking amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I was blown back. Yeah.
But again, that's a message. That creature brings you a certain message, which we will look up and maybe we'll, like, you know, tell our listeners on the next lesson.
Yeah. Not lesson, sorry, listeners. It's not a lesson, in there, our next podcast. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, it was very special to me, so.
Yeah, I mean, not, yeah, it was special anyway, but it's got to have a signature frequency to it that it brings to, the energy it brings to whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm saying listen to AC/DC more often, because I haven't listened to them for a wee while, so. Yeah, but, I was touched, yeah. It was one of these, again, moments you go, and it takes a lot for me to go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of these moments. I went, wow! When one of these fucking crabs bit me.
Yeah, when it bit you.
Yeah, well, we had Jonah crabs in the pots as well. So it bit me in the. They're quick and bastard and got me right in the pinky. So I went, wow! But I didn't even smash it though. I just looked at it and I said, come on then.
So, you know, messages in nature, messages in your dreams, and pay attention to what's going around you, going on around you. Don't listen to mainstream media. Get rid of the ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN,
XYZ. It was a good album by Coldplay, XYZ. That was
good. Yeah, true. But get rid of them all. Don't listen to them. Don't pay attention to them, because they're all feeding you lies.
Oh,
it's all bullshit. It's all lies. Look for alternative media. Look for, you know, those outlets.
Mike Adams, Brighteon.
Brighteon.com. Brighteon.social is a social network, mm-hmm. just like what's that one that I banned there? Facebook.
Oh, it's a horrible word.
Oh,
isn't
ouch.
It? Yeah. And the boys from Canada, you know, the.
Oh yeah, yeah. The guy. Well, there's several guys from Canada that we listen to. Unbridled Minds is
That's
a really
one,
good
yeah.
one. Great podcast.
They're
I,
funny. Not as funny
listen,
as Scots. They're not as funny as the Scots, but they're funny.
They're funny. I listen to them on Apple, so I'm not sure what other
platform.
Venues are on, but the other one is, what's the other one? Oh my God, I forget.
David Icke. UK
yep.
Column.
UK Column is best.
They're coming out with some amazing facts.
Yep, and I also post every UK Column episode on my pill.net. Just pay attention. Wake up. See what's out there.
I also have to say the old man in the chair.
Oh, yeah. Vernon Coleman.
Vernon Coleman is a doctor.
Old man in
the
chair. The
doctor has seen this going on for a long time.
Yep. He actually came back on after a few months.
Because the poor man was knackered. Do you say knackered in America? Tired?
No, that's a British thing, but
he was tired. Knackered, yeah. He was,
well, what happened was he was being, you know, deplatformed.
He was
getting
slaughtered.
Discredited.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, what, 90-something years old?
I would say, yeah.
No, he's not quite that old, but.
No, and he's not far off.
Yeah. Great information.
Yeah.
All truth secret.
Well, he's a GP. He's a doctor. And I also have to say, us.
Midnight Margarita.
Midnight Margarita.
Come have a drink with us and listen to us. And just remember, this is all our own stuff, our own research, our own, on today's episode, our own intuition and cosmic connections. That's another one. What's his name? Cosmic Consciousness. MI6.
James Bond. Not Bond. Sean Connery.
No, come on.
Luke Bond.
Oh my God. I'm going to get shit for this one.
You are, because your memory's terrible.
Oh my God. What's his name?
O'Keefe.
No, Mantis.
Oh, gee, with Simon Parks.
Simon Parks, thank you. Simon Parks is a good one to listen to, too. So, yeah. Thanks for listening.
Excellent. Hikava.
I can't get to my... it's like not letting me onto my phone here. See? All right. So, Hikava. Thanks for listening.
Is that you're not supposed to sing a song?
No. Yeah, sing your song.
Well...
go for it.
Put it off just now. You got to charge.
No, it's you're still rolling. We're still recording.
Back in 2 minutes.
Okay, we're back, and Bara's gonna sing us a song here to close us out.
Okay, this is a wee song about a bonny wee maiden from back home waiting for a love who's a sailor or a fisherman that never seems to give her the promises that he offered. He seems to have a maiden in every port. But anyway, here we go. This is called Hila Vata, which means Vata is the boat, Hila means come back. So Hila Vata. So she's waiting on the mountaintop, waiting for her to come back into port. So. How often on hazeltoes I scan the ocean. I sail the sea, welcome tonight, love will come tomorrow, welcome tonight, love, come home to see, and comfort me, Hila Vata. Snahoro hela, hela vata, snahoro hela, hela vata, snahoro hela, o fare thee well, love, where art you be? They call thee fickle, they call thee false one, and seek to change, but all in vain. For thou art my dream, art through the dark night, and every morning I scan the sea, Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila, Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila, Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila. Oh, fare thee well, love, where art you be? There's not a hand, love, too well I know it, where you go wandering or sit a while. But all the old folk you win with talking, and charm its maiden with song and smile. Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila, Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila. Hila Vata, Snahoro Hila, O fare thee well, love, where art you be? Do you remember the promise you made me, the tartan plaid, the silken gown, the ring of gold? hair and portrait, that gown and ring I will never see. Ilavata snahoro ila, ilavata snahoro ila, ilavata snahoro ila. Oh, fare thee well, love, where art you be? Oh, fare thee well, love, where art thou be?
That was beautiful, thank you. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much. So, on that note, hope you enjoyed our episode, and thanks for listening. Over and out.